Appreciate. Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Appreciate the confidence that we have in the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Our only job is to keep ourselves submitted to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He that ruleth his own city, ruleth his own spirit, is better than he that taketh the city.
Yes. Amen.
So sometimes in letting the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, we have to kind of bring our own spirit into check. And make sure what the Holy Spirit wants.
Amen.
Because it is only in the Holy Spirit that the glory of God is revealed.
Yeah.
Now we heard this morning about Mount Zion.
Yeah.
You know what makes Mount Zion what she is? It's the glory of God.
Amen.
The glory of God makes that habitation what it is.
Yes.
You know what's in the glory of God? Truth.
Yes.
Righteousness.
Amen.
Purity.
Yes, Lord.
Holiness. The makeup of the glory of God is pure.
Yes.
And it is in that glory that that Zion shines. It's not like the world. It's not like the things in the world or the things of the world or the things of the flesh. But it is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And it is through that Spirit that we receive the revelation and are able to see the glory that there is in living a life of self-denial.
Yes, Lord.
In losing our life in Christ. It's nonsense to the mind. It's nonsense to the world. But as it's revealed through the Holy Spirit, we begin to see the real glory of God.
Amen.
It is the glory of God to conceal, it said in one place. And I want to talk this afternoon about the glory of God.
Yes,
and what that glory really is. What it really is to you, and what it really is to me, what it is to the church, what it is to the world. The revelation of the vision of God. Remember when God's glory would come down in smoke and around the mountain and the people quivered and quaked and were fearful. But as we are able to behold the real glory of God.
Amen.
Through the inspiration of a clear vision. Through the Holy Spirit. Not polluted by our own thoughts. Our own interpretations in our own ideas. But revealed by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The real glory of God. All, it puts everything else to shame. It puts all of man rule, a man's honor, man's esteem. It brings that all tumbling down. Because there isn't any place in the presence of God for man to stand, regardless of who he is. Or how much God has blessed him.
Amen.
In the presence of God is glory, glory, glory to God Almighty.
Yes, sure.
His Son said, give the Father the glory.
Yes.
I've done all of these things. I'm to be worshipped. I'm your Savior. But he still said, give my Father the glory.
Yes.
That's where it belongs.
Amen.
It is the glory of God that makes this experience what it is.
Amen.
In the 10th chapter of Leviticus, we want to read a few verses about a couple of Aaron's sons. Said the sons of Aaron took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Before all the people, I will be glorified.
Amen.
And Aaron held his peace. Now, they made the mistake of approaching unto God with a strange fire. Even though they were the sons of Aaron, and they had some credentials as to who they were and what they were, yet when they come before God Almighty, they must come in His command.
Yes, right.
And because they did not come in His command, fire killed them.
Yes.
God reached out and He slew them that He might be glorified, that He might be honored. Now, when we really get a hold of what the glory of God is, it's not just all peaches and cream as far as our imaginations go. But it's the reality of purity and truth of who God really is. And when we approach unto God, we must come as He has commanded. If we don't come as He has commanded, then we run the risk of destruction. Without His mercy, we would have all been devoured. In His mercy, we have been spared until we were sanctified that we might bring Him a sacrifice that is acceptable in His eyes. But once we have been a partaker of that sanctification and we approach into Him with a strange fire, we're in danger. This is a careful thing. This is a watchful thing. God is God. He's Almighty God. He's not a leader. He's not some great, gigantic person. He's God Almighty. Pure and holy. And there is a command in the way to approach to Him and offer your sacrifice.
Amen.
And if you pollute that sacrifice, you stand in danger.
Yes,
you stand in danger of the wrath of God.
Yes,
that He might be glorified. What would heaven be if He let people sneak things in? There wouldn't be any glory to God. There wouldn't be any glory about His name. He wouldn't be a righteous God. It is in His pure righteousness that nothing shall enter in there.
Yes, Lord.
So therefore, if we are in danger, it is a glory unto God. We kind of look at it the other way. Because we're the one that is in trouble.
Yes.
But if we are the one that is slain, it is still to the glory of God.
Amen.
Because we were in error and did that which we were not commanded.
Yes. Yeah.
Now in the second chapter of Job, beginning at the 11th verse, he said, the Lord shall utter His voice before His army, for His camp is very great, for He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? There is strength, there is power, there is might, there is fear, there is reverence, there is honor, there is glory in the coming of the Spirit of the Lord. That's why we reverence the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's why we don't want to get out of order.
Yes,
regardless of what it is that we're doing in our worship to God.
Yes, Lord.
Is because it's terrible.
Yes, sure.
There is a fear to it.
Yes. Amen.
There also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all of your heart.
Yes.
With fasting, with weeping, and with mourning.
Yes.
So then how do I keep myself from coming before God to offer up a sacrifice that is strange fire?
Yes, Lord.
I humble myself. This way has been made. Turn to You. Turn to Him. With all of my heart. With fasting. With weeping. With mourning. It's not a light thing to bring a sacrifice before God. There's no lightness about it. Rent your heart.
Yes.
I'm not interested in what you have as far as your garments and who you are and what you are. But if you don't have a rent heart, then you cannot approach unto me in the way that I would have you to approach unto me.
Yes, Lord.
Turn unto the Lord your God. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's slow to anger and of great kindness. and repenteth him of evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly, a solemnity in offering your sacrifice to God.
Yes, Lord.
Why? Because God will be glorified.
Yes,
now, there are so many things going on in the religious world that are so demeaning. And it has an effect upon even the church if we're not careful. Because people are getting away with approaching the altar and they're not being burned up. It is the mercy of God that they are not. But we want to have this reverence of fear under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in fasting and in prayer, in weeping and in mourning.
Amen.
That we truly might be sanctified of all of ourself, of all of our will, of all of our own importance, of all of how good we want to look, even in the church, in all of those things that are in the flesh, that we would not have that takes weeping before God.
Amen.
It takes a consecration. It takes a fasting and a mourning. The apostle said, I die daily.
Amen.
It's not an easy thing. But we have this promise. We have this assurance. In the 32nd verse of this same chapter, he said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Yes, Lord.
Deliverance. It is God that delivereth my life from destruction.
Amen.
I am set to self-destruct. Yes. But in the mercy of God, he delivers me from that destruction. He shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be a deliverance, as the Lord hath said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. We heard about this remnant. This remnant that has been throughout, down through the time since Jesus came and set up his church. There has been a remnant. There has been a people. There have been those that were able to offer a pure, holy sacrifice, acceptable in the eyes of God. There's been many polluted sacrifices. There's been many things that God did not accept. And there's been many things that God has devoured and destroyed. I want to turn to the 18th chapter of Matthew. Remember, God will be glorified.
Amen.
If we don't glorify God, He'll still be glorified. God is going to be glorified in this work. Jesus said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So God will receive the glory. Be assured of that. In the 18th chapter, Jesus taught us. And I want to begin reading with the 21st verse. He said, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7.
Yes, Lord.
You know what it was? What is in this right here? The glory of God.
Amen.
This is a glorious thing. It's hard to swallow, as the brother said this morning. Maybe when you go eat some of those leaves off that tree, they have a big word on them that says, forgive your brother. And that's what you're chewing to take care of your sore. In this verse is the glory of Mount Zion. In this verse is the glory of God. This is what makes God what He is. And what He wants to impart to us through His Son Jesus. We glory in being saved. We glory in our sanctification. We glory in our hope. This is the glory of God.
Amen.
That we're a forgiving people.
Yes.
This is what makes the stars shine in the firmament of God's heaven.
Yes.
We're forgiving people. Amen. We don't hold people. And we bring our sacrifice. Jesus said, when you come and you bring your sacrifice and you're going to give it to me, hold up. Is there something in your heart against your brother? Do you have an aunt or an heir? Don't come down here before me. You go take care of that. And then you come back and offer up your sacrifice and it'll smell good to me. It'll be sweet. It'll be glorious. It'll be part of the glory of God.
Amen.
The glory of God. Sometimes we have such a perception of sugar and cream. But it's purity.
Yes.
It's the pure truth.
Yes.
Out of the heart of God. He said he had made his thoughts known to every generation.
Yes.
And in our generation, Jesus says, forgive. Now, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, you think you can pay your debt of sin? You had a death warrant on your head. Eternal destruction. He could not pay. You could not pay. The Lord commanded. The wages of sin is death. You eat of that tree, Adam, you're going to die. That's my glory. My word is true. It's forever settled. The command was that you be sold, his wife sold, his children sold, and all that he had to make payment. And this servant fell down and he worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. And I will pay you. There isn't a Christian in this building that didn't have to get down and beg forgiveness for their debt. This is when you rent your heart. If you never rent your heart, then you have never experienced this true forgiveness. You might have a mind of it, a thought of it, but to really experience Holy Ghost salvation, being saved, going on to perfection, being sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, you must rent your heart. Totally and completely needing this from Him. Why? To the glory of God. He don't want anybody else around. He don't want anyone else bringing sacrifices to His altar. His altar is a pure place. It's a holy place. Those beautiful streams that come down the mountain are full of purity and sweet things. He don't want it defiled. So you must first take care of that heart and get it rent.
Yes, Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
And you know, and I know, that when we reach that place, whether it was an altar of prayer in a church or whether it was in a barn or beside our bed or driving down the street, the compassion came. And with that compassion came forgiveness. He said he was moved. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 just. This renting of the heart, there is a movement. There is a moving of God, and his heart is softened towards you and towards me. And his heart becomes soft, and he forgives our debt. We no longer owe that debt. So surely, how terrible the rest of this story bears out. How ugly it looks. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, his brother, his sister, which owed him 100 pence, which slighted him, which took advantage of him, which said something bad about him. Maybe done something wrong to him. He said, pay me. I know I'm right. I know you owe me this. Pay up. I won't pay you. I'll go tell somebody else about this. I'll tell somebody over here. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But he went and he cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. You know, sometimes when we get out of the order of the Lord, those that are in the leadership of the Holy Spirit go to God and tell on us.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad they do. That's to the glory of God that they're led in that way. Open rebuke is better than secret love, he said. And if you care for me, you see me get like this, I want you to tell God on me. I want you to plead for my soul. I want you to plead for my heart and my life. I beg you to do that.
Amen.
Those that are led went and told God, look what this one's doing over here.
Yeah.
Of course, we know that God has seen. And this story said, and after the Lord called him and said, O thou wicked servant.
Yes.
There is wickedness in this.
Yes.
There is wickedness in being unforgiving.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. You talk about the wickedness in L.A., the wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm telling you, there's wickedness in unforgiveness.
Yes.
It's a wicked thing.
Yes.
It's wickedness.
That's right.
Oh, we sugarcoat it. We kind of cover it up because of our feelings and all the things that are involved. But in the eyes of God, it is wicked.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
Wicked, wicked.
That's
he hates this. Jesus said, don't come before me with it, go make it right.
That's right.
Another place he said, when you pray and you ask for God to forgive you, then you must be forgiven.
That's right.
And if you don't forgive, God isn't going to forgive you.
That's right.
Now how harder can you get?
Word,
it's a wicked thing.
Yes, Lord.
And here's the sad part. Remember we read about Aaron's sons? He said, and his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So, likewise, shall my heavenly Father, God, merciful, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son.
Yes, the Lord.
This God? Jesus, are you talking about the God I know? Who sought after me for years in sin? Come looking for me? Put up with all my sin and had mercy on me?
Yes, Lord.
My loving God that I love with all my heart? So likewise shall this God do also unto you. I don't care that you're Aaron's son. That doesn't matter.
Yes.
You've done wickedly. There's wickedness in this. I forgave your debt free and clear. I lifted you up to a holy place, put you on a holy mountain, gave you all the blessings that are in that place, and you grabbed someone else and held them. That's wicked. Therefore, my judgment has come forth upon you.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And I'll likewise turn you over to the tormentors until your debt is paid. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you.
Yes.
If you from your hearts, forgive not the people you like. No.
Amen.
He said everyone.
Amen.
Everyone.
Right.
Whether you like them or don't like them, it does not enter into the picture.
Right.
It has absolutely nothing to do with this scripture. Jesus didn't address it at all. He just said, everyone.
That's right.
His brother, their trespasses.
Yes.
All right. Now that I've snuck that in, I want to continue on with my thought of glory. In the 12th chapter of John, it is the glory of God. It's a glorious thing. That's why it's so glorious.
Amen.
Is there's no room for the flesh.
Amen.
That no man would glory in God's presence.
That's right.
There isn't any room for malice or unforgiveness.
Amen.
Hatred.
That's right.
Not even a little bitty root, he said.
That's right. Yeah.
The 12th chapter of John, beginning at the 23rd verse, he said, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
Yes, Lord.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die and bringeth forth much fruit, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
Yes, Lord.
Now if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor."
Yes, Lord.
Glory and honor are a lot alike. Some places in the Word where it says that God would be glorified, and in the margin it will say honor. He said, "If any man serve me, where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, or if any man will surely die, as this corn, as I am going to do, and as I am going to be a partaker of, and as he puts on Christ, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Oh, now this is a lot different way to come before the altar of God. Coming and bringing my sacrifice, knowing that God honors me. Not like Aaron's son, not with a strange fire, not with a command of my own, but the command of Christ.
Amen.
If I lose my life, I'll find it in him. If I die, I'll live eternally. Then God will honor my sacrifice. Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled." There's many times that we'll be troubled in completing this command. It's a troubling thing to the flesh. It's a troubling thing to self. It's a troubling thing to my life. But what shall I say? "Father, save me from this hour. Deliver me from this hour. In your mercy, take me out of this hour." No. He said, "But for this cause, for this very cause, came I to this hour."
Yes.
This particular hour, I came for this reason. I came for this moment. I came for this time.
Yes, surely so.
I could have called legions of angels to deliver me. But I'm not going to call for deliverance. This is why I came.
Yes. Amen.
I came to the world for this moment and this hour. I've worked 30-some years, whatever it was, I don't know. But I now come to this time for this little piece of corn to die and go into the ground. This is why I left hell. This is why I came to earth, that I might make a way. And so for this cause came I unto this hour. So you know what he prayed? "Father, glorify thy name." Glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again."
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Now the people said, they heard it and they said it thundered, an angel spake. But Jesus answered, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sake." God speaks. God speaks to you. God speaks to me. God honors us with His presence, with His Spirit, that He might be glorified in this world.
Amen.
That He might be glorified in you and in me by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There isn't any other way to bring glory to God. There isn't any other way to glorify God. I'm unfit. I'm defiled. Like Aaron's son, I was burned up. I first had to be sanctified. I had to be cleansed. And it is only through the death of Christ that I can have that cleansing. That I can have that purification. It isn't in my lineage. It doesn't make any difference whose son I am or where I come from. This is God. God Almighty and to approach unto His presence, to approach unto His Spirit, to have the Holy Ghost guide me and direct me in my life, I need to be sanctified.
Amen.
I need to be pure and holy before Him.
Amen.
And there was no way for me to attain that except through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the power of His blood and the power of the Holy Ghost coming into our heart, filling us with the glory. The glory of God. The Holy Spirit witnesses the glory of God. Oh, when people take it so lightly and run around and jibber jabber and roll on the floor and do all those things and call it the Holy Spirit. So many things, so many strange fires coming before the throne of God. But there is this real fire. We studied about in Sunday school, a devouring fire that burns up self, that burns up our own life, that destroys our own works. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus was praying. He said, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. And as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent.
Amen.
I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Oh, this almost gives you goosebumps. It almost scares you to death when you think of the glory of God and Christ wanting to be glorified again, wanting the glory of God to glorify Him in what He had accomplished in His work, what He had done. He had been faithful. He hadn't sinned. He hadn't even had guile in His mouth. Didn't do anything against anybody. Now, Father, it's time. The hour has come. Bless God. I want You to glorify me in this world. I want the glory of God to rest upon a life that must die. I want the glory of God to rest upon the teachings that I've taught. Go the extra mile. Let's turn the other cheek and do all those things. God, I want You to glorify that now. I've told the people. I've done the work. Now, Father in heaven, let the glory come down. Oh, let the glory come down. It's pure and it's holy. It's truth. It's Your word. And I give it to the people. And now it's time to glorify it. And God said, I'll glorify it. I'll glorify it. I'll surely glorify it, son. You've been true. You've been faithful. You've spoke My word to the people. You've straightened out their disillusions. You've brought them light where there was darkness. You've given them a path that is straight. Yes, it's narrow and it's hard to find, but You've given it to them. This is the glory of God. 10th verse said, all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them.
Amen.
Oh, to think that we can share in the righteousness of Christ. It was the righteousness of Christ that allowed Him to ask the Father to glorify Him. It was how good He had been. We've been bad. We've sinned. Sin badly, a lot of us. Remember, dear old brother Trimble used to sit here on the front bench. He said when the Lord saved him, he had to hold his nose. He stunk so bad. Just kind of reached out and picked him up. Washed him and cleansed him. Purified him. How was he able to do that? In the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus is saying, all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them.
Amen.
So the righteousness of Christ then can crown your life with glory. You can be glorified with Christ. That's what makes Him so special. He didn't want the glory for Himself. He wanted it for you. No wonder He gets upset when you try to hold it to yourself and not extend it to your brother. No wonder that grieves His heart. After all that He done, that you might have it.
Amen.
You're hopping on down to the 22nd verse. He said, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one."
Amen.
Oh, the glory.
Amen.
That there is in unity.
Amen.
The glory of God that rests upon the mountain.
Yes.
That covered the mountain. The glory that ran down Aaron's beard.
Yes.
The oil. This is the glory of God.
Yes.
"And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them for this purpose, that You might be glorified in the earth."
Amen.
"And You are glorified by these, our people." My people, Lord God.
Yes.
Your people, God.
Praise
They're
God.
Ours. The church.
Yes.
Those that dwell in this place.
Yes, Lord.
That they might be one.
Amen.
As we are one. I in them, Thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one.
Yes. Amen.
That the world may know. What did we say in the beginning? God is going to be glorified.
Yes.
He said, "I will be glorified." He had to kill those two young men that come in a strange way. He said, "I'll be glorified." And now here Jesus is saying, they're made perfect that the world might know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved Me, and as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world.
Yes, Lord. That's beautiful.
The glory of God that He had with The glory of Christ that He had with God before the world was. And now that glory is revealed, that they may behold My glory. Oh, as God opens our eyes, and as we're able to see, where there is a vision, the people never perish.
Amen.
Where there's no vision, they do perish. But that revelation is made known as to what the real glory of God is. It's not men elevating men. It's not people elevating people. But it is the glory of God. That Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Savior. And it is through His Word that we are cleansed of ourselves and of our impurities.
Amen.
That they may behold My glory. How often Jesus told him, "You don't understand right now." He told the woman at the well, He told His disciples, "I have bread that you don't know about. I can't tell you about this yet. But it shall be revealed after the Comforter, after the Holy Spirit comes."
Amen.
He'll remind you of these things. What is that? He is revealing the glory of God. It's far greater. It's far sweeter. It's so sweet to the soul. Eternal. Which You've given Me.
Yes, Lord.
From the foundation of the world. Oh, that we would reverence the things that Jesus taught us.
Amen.
That we would understand that in obedience to those things, He reveals His glory.
Yes, really.
Oh, sometimes we get the shouting and singing and the revelation comes and maybe the people don't even really know what we've seen, but it sure has an effect on us, doesn't it?
Yes.
It sure affects us, Sister runs up and down here. He's experiencing some of that glory of revelation of what that song's saying. What that song really means. The world has no idea what it means, but it is revealed unto God's children. It is revealed unto God's people through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Brother Davies, whether you can see with your eyes, I know he can see with his soul. I've heard it out of his mouth, praise God. And revealed unto him is these truths. The glory of God is revealed. And we want that glory of God magnified in our lives. That's our struggle. That's our fight. That's our endeavor. Is that the glory of God would rest upon our lives. They would rest upon our testimony and our experience. We wouldn't have any polluted things. We wouldn't have any strange fire. But we would have the Holy Ghost fire pure from heaven, measuring to the standard that Jesus has called for us to measure to, and let that Spirit come in. The Spirit of God. I and them and you and me, and we're all one. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the church. One in the Spirit of God. The glory of God revealed unto these. I'll go back to this fourth verse. He said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Now, isn't that amazing? Have you kept the faith? Have you fought a good fight? Are you going to be able to say, I finished the work?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not an artist. I have a work to do, and you have a work to do. And that work must be blessed with. It truly is a blessing from God to have the glory of God stamped upon your work.
Sure, that's sure, that's all.
Upon your labors.
Yeah.
I don't sing because I think I sound pretty. I know I don't. I don't even sound good preaching. I know that too, so bear with me. One time I preached a sermon and somebody had a question about it, and I had to listen to myself on a tape to see what I said. That's not good. I almost quit preaching. God had to come to me and tell me again about the little boy with the fishes, and he blessed it and he fed the people. So I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to feed you today. I guess you already know that. I trust the Lord is feeding your soul about this glory. It is the glory of God. You have a work to do. You have a calling. 14th chapter of John. 12th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now the rest of this verse used to trouble me. It said, greater works than these shall he do. Now we know all the things Jesus accomplished, don't we? Healed the sick. Cast out devils. fed the multitudes.
Yeah.
All those miraculous miracles that he accomplished. And now he's saying that if we believe on him, we're going to do that. But we're also going to do greater works. What does this mean, Lord? You know, it seemed like God just kind of gave me a little bit of insight for myself, so I'll pass it on to you. Those greater works are things that could not be done because his kingdom had not yet been established. Yeah. The right hand of the Father to make intercession for you because you're such a weakling. Because you mess up in yourself. And you need me at the right hand of God. You need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter, I know you could die for me. But without the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to stand. You're going to run. The adversity comes and you're going to run. So the greater works that were going to be accomplished are the works by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. And these works are greater than healing a lame leg. These works are greater than raising the dead. These works are greater than opening blind eyes. Why? Because these greater works, reveal the true glory of God.
Amen.
You see, there is a glory to being able to heal. And there is a glory to all the good things that Jesus did. But there is a greater glory when God is revealed in His purity, in His truth, as He really is, where there is no room for the flesh to stand. And as you begin to live that life of self-denial and let the Holy Spirit come down and live through you and keep the commandment of Christ, you're able to do greater things than all the works that I've accomplished in my time. You're able to touch those places that I wasn't able to touch. The glory of God is able to shine out of your life. It is able to honor me and glorify me and bring me all the praise that I should have. Why? Because when somebody slaps you, you don't slap them back. Because when somebody sues you for your cloak, you give them your cloak also. And when they do things to you, you don't talk about them. And when you do that, God receives the glory. And God is glorified. And the glory of God is revealed. And it touches the hardest heart. It touches those that are far away from God. It wasn't the loudmouth preacher. It was the little old lady that come to church every time and brought her 2 mites and threw it down. And the treasurer, he said, you give more than everyone else. And that one that was faithful to come to church and bring her little testimony, bring her little song and her little hand. Bless God, she touched the hard heart. Greater works than these will you do. As you keep the commandments of Jesus Christ and as you obey Him, He is your sanctification and you can come before the altar of God. I don't care who you are, how big your star is, bless God, it can shine with the glory of God. It can shine with the glory of Almighty God. God Himself being glorified in your life. Oh, what an opportunity. Oh, what a joy. Oh, what a pleasure.
Amen.
To think that I can live a life through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through obedience, that God can be glorified.
Thank the Lord.
Lord, help me. I have a work to do. You have a work to do. All right, let's move on to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. The 11th verse talks about being changed. We've heard about that in this meeting.
our salvation Brother Dell spoke of this morning.
Used to be thieves and covetous and drunkards and violators. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God.
Amen. 15th verse. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?
Amen.
Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? 19th verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not of your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, because you are bought with a price, because you are not your own,
yes, Lord,
glorify. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit,
amen,
which are God's.
Amen.
That's why there's no pride. That's why there's no lifting up. The apostle said, I am what I am because of the grace of Christ, because of the grace of God.
Amen.
It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me.
Yeah.
You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God anyhow.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, this is where we can take comfort. Because we belong to God, even though we're flesh and blood, and even though we're in this old temple of clay, we're God's. And if being God's, He loves us, He cares for us,
amen,
and we are something special in His eyes, He'll take care of us. He's given us promise after promise. He has given us all. He has sealed it with His Son's blood. He has issued out of His mouth, and it will not return into Him void. It shall come to pass. God will be glorified. Whether you glorify Him in your body or not, God will be glorified. And if He has to strike you down with lightning out of heaven, He'll be glorified. If He has to open the earth and swallow you up like He did some of the children of Israel, He'll be glorified. God is going to be glorified with or without you. Because He owns you. You are His. He made you. You're not your own. And then on top of that, He went all the trouble He went to that He might buy you back. Have you ever heard of such a thing? If you own something, would you go buy it back? God did. He paid with His Son. His Son paid with His life and His blood.
Yes, Lord.
Even though He already owned you.
Amen.
You know why? Because you stunk. Because you were defiled. Because you were filled with darkness. You're bought with a price. So now that you're bought with a price, glorify God.
Amen.
In your body. You know, as I read this verse, it tells me that there is something that I must do. It's not automatic. It's not just a foregone thing. Amen?
Amen.
Faith without works is dead. There are works to glorify God. There are things for you to do in your body to glorify God. And to bring God glory. The glory He deserves. And the glory He's going to have with or without you. So Lord, help us that we would be challenged afresh and anew.
Amen.
To enter into that glory. Not in our own works, lest any man should boast. But in the works of Christ, in the works of God, being led of the Holy Spirit in the reality of truth and righteousness.
Amen.
Right, I want to read now in the 12th chapter. Third verse says, "Wherefore I give to you understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversity of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. That they may be one as we are one, Father. That one in each other." Now there is diversity of who you are and who I am. Bless the Lord. Do you think how terrible it'd be if we all were alike? Well, there wouldn't be no glory to God in that. But as the sand of the sea, sand of the beach, there's that many different little people. And they all have a different personality. They all look different. They all act different. Glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. That He made people different. Praise God. I'm glad everyone's different. That brings glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. But there's one Spirit. There's one Lord. There's one God. And that's where the glory comes in. That He can take someone who looks so different, act so different, raised so different, and put the same Spirit in him. Put the same Spirit. It's identical. Gene for gene. There's no difference here. There's absolutely no difference. It cannot grow corn out of a carrot seed. This is the seed of God. And there is only one gene, and that's God. The rest of it doesn't matter, does it? It's kind of neat that it's that way. That way we can kind of identify each other. If we were all alike, we'd be in a world of hurt. But we're all the same. In the glory of God. And how God is going to be glorified in your work. Now then, we'll move on to the 18th verse. He said, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body." We heard about this body, haven't we? "As it pleased Him." Oh, there's confidence. There's rest. There's peace in this. Because if Brother Hobbs put me somewhere, I might not fit too good. Or if Brother Francisco put you somewhere, you might not fit too good. But God, He's put me right where He wants me.
Amen.
He looked at this old ugly fat guy and He seen how bad he looked. He said, "I better put him up in Oregon where people don't see him too much." Well, that's kind of a stretch. But in truth and reality, we're that much different. And God knows just where to place us.
Amen.
To accomplish what? His glory. His glory on earth.
That's right.
That's why He put you where you are.
That's right.
That's why He let you be born like you are.
That's right.
And maybe you have some deficiencies.
Yeah.
That's all right with God.
Yeah.
He's still got a place for you.
Yeah.
He's still got a place to glorify His name in you.
Yeah.
Exactly like He wants to.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. This is glorious when we really begin to understand who God is and who we are and
how much of a debt we really owe. And how much He allows us to enter into His glory. If you wanted to be someone admired for good looks, you want to look like Elvis Presley or Anne Margaret or somebody, maybe you try and go spend a lot of money at the plastic surgeon, Michael Jackson. I don't know how many billions he spent. Make himself look pretty. God knows just how to accomplish with you just like you are. And filled with His Spirit. Yes. That does it, doesn't it, Brother Bill? It is that saving grace that glorifies God. Be encouraged. Glorify God in your body. With all of its infirmities. With all of its weaknesses. With all of its ugliness. Whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. It is the glory of God. That no flesh, whether it's ugly flesh or pretty flesh, can glorify itself in the presence of God. In the 15th chapter, I'll be done pretty quick. I'm getting to these things on the board. This is the thrill of my soul that God has revealed in this little message.
Amen.
We got this in Bible study up in Oregon. Not very many of us there. But God gave it to us one last Wednesday night, I believe.
Thank the Lord.
15th chapter of this same book. Beginning at the 38th verse. Oh, this is sweet. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him. And to every seed His own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, there is another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. You know that as His children, we are stars in His firmament.
Amen.
We are stars that will never burn out. They talk about stars being thousands of light years away or whatever it is, and when finally the last little flash gets here, they're gone. The glory of God is that you and all of your infirmities can shine forever.
Amen.
Woo! Praise God. I know a lot of stars that have come in that door and have shined through this life and gone out that door and gone to heaven, and their light yet shines from the grave. Brother Bell talked about Brother Chandler. I knew Brother Chandler. I'm sorry you didn't get to know him, Brother Bill. But you've known a lot of men of the Lord, so you knew him anyhow. Because that's what he was. But you know the memory that stands out in my mind about Brother Chandler is when my brother come home from Monarch with typhoid. And he lay in the bedroom near death. And here come Brother Chandler. In his car and drove down from Bakersfield. Got up on our old rickety porch. And all of his sweaters and coats in the middle of summertime. Never forgot that. He always wore those sweaters. But he sat there and sang that song. Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord will make a way somehow, Brother Chuck. The Lord will make a way somehow. Glory to God. This is a star that is shining. It's going to shine forever. It's never going to go out. Oh, bless God. I may die. I'm going to die. But when I get to heaven, that star is still going to be shining with the glory of God. But the Isaac Chandler star is going to shine forever and ever. It's never going to end. There is no end to this shine. There is no end to this glory. The glory of this world, the glory of men is going to perish when the fire comes down and destroys this world. But this glory, bless God, has no end. It's eternal. It's never ending. Brother and sister, it's worth every sacrifice. Die like the old corn. Die in the ground. Let God have your life wholly. Completely. Fully. God be glorified in this ugly old body. Take control of it. I don't want the things of the world. I don't want the things of this life. I want you to be glorified in this body.
Forbes.
I never hear a preacher stirring message. I never see her move the people. Oh my God. Did I see the glory of God shine in that woman's life? Did God glorify Himself in Sister Vera Forbes? Take those little children, some of you probably in here. Who all was in Vera Forbes' class? Raise your hand. Praise God! Dear woman, give her time and her effort. And God glorified it. Her star shines. It'll shine forever. Oh, bless God. There's no end to it. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be Ira Stover. You don't have to be Isaac Chandler. You are a star in God's furnace. You are a star. Glorify God with your body. With your life. To God be the glory. Oh, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. Elvis Presley never had that kind of glory. Michael Jordan don't have that kind of glory. He's got millions of dollars. But he don't have this that I know of. I don't want to judge you. Right down in here, the glory of God is revealed. Jesus. We're able to see Jesus. Able to see that it's better to sacrifice. We're able to see it's better to give than receive. Can you see that? It is only revealed through the Spirit.
That's it.
Lord. Amen.
It's all right, brother.
Amen.
58th verse of this same chapter said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. The brother touched on this. Abounding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I didn't get no check like Michael Jordan. I didn't. I worked hard for the Lord last week, I think. I could have worked harder. I confess that. But I didn't get no check like Michael.
But it wasn't in vain.
Oh, praise God.
It wasn't in vain.
That money's going to perish. The money's going to be gone. The fame will be gone. This will still be here. And this that I feel in my soul this afternoon will go on forever. Without end. It takes a fool not to go this way. It takes a fool to turn God down. It takes a fool to glorify himself. Wisdom tells me, and I'm not very smart, but I've got this figured out. I've got this figured out right here. But it's not revealed to the wise and prudent. I confess I'm simple. I confess that I'm not very bright. I haven't been to college. I don't understand all those things. But it's not vain to serve the Lord. I've seen men and women do it down through the ages. I've seen God glorify their life, bless their life, seen them leave this world in peace. There's no way it's in vain then. Not even a cup of water. Who got this water? God's going to bless you. That's the truth. This isn't made up. This isn't just to get you stirred up. This is the truth of God's Word. This is where it's at. This is what you should be working for. This is what you should be laboring for. This is what you should be spending your money for and your time and your effort. That God would be glorified. You know why? Because God is never going to keep it to himself. When God is glorified, he just pours it out on you. Oh, and this is just the beginning. Can you imagine eternity? Can you imagine being with all those stars? Brother Bill said we had some trophies. Oh, praise God. Someday I'm going to be with those trophies eternally. Forever and ever. Ever without end. All right. 22nd chapter. 21st chapter of Revelations.
Bless you,
brother. 22nd verse.
Said, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So what is it then that reveals to you the way, the truth, and the life? It is the glory of God. Jesus said, glorify me, Father. He said, I've glorified you and I'm going to do it again. Everyone that calls upon your name and pleads your blood, I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to glorify your sacrifice and what you've done, son. It is the glory of God that lightens your path. And when he shows you to cut off your hand, cut it off. When he shows you to throw something away, throw it away. Shows you to destroy something, destroy it. It's the glory of God that it's revealed to you. It's because God is who he is that you are able to see it. That you're able to even understand that you need to. In yourself, you'd be deceived. In your own way, you're a product of destruction. Headed to self-destruct. But in his glory, he said that he would send the light. John the Baptist said, it was Jesus that men love darkness rather than light. Because this light reveals what we need to do to glorify God. As the light comes, walk in it. Walk in it. It's not in vain. Said, and the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. I used to wonder about that verse also. I said, man, people don't have anything that they should be proud of or glory in. And the gates of it shall not be shut all day. For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into this place. Oh, look out. You're going to get me excited again. Going to bring all of these people. Are going to bring their glory into this place. It's not robbery.
Amen.
To be equal.
Amen.
Jesus said, boldly enter in. He said, this is my gift to you. The Father in me. Me and the Father. And we're in you. And if we're in you, then our glory's there. So I'm going to bring this little body into this city in a glorified condition. Praise God. When this old fat boy is resurrected, I don't know what he's going to look like. But I'm going to tell you this. He's going to bring his glory that God has given him in this world into that city. Kings and priests, Brother Bell said. Are you reigning to this very day? Are you a king unto God? And bring that glory into his city? Oh! He said, number that could not be numbered. Couldn't count how many people were under the altar. Glory upon glory upon glory upon glory. Brought into that city.
Praise God.
I can't take it.
Amen.
The glory of God. There is no boast. Because if you're boasting, you don't have it. See, if you're boasting, you done missed the glory of God. So there is no sin in being glorified in your life. Because it's of God. There is no sin in having a glorious life. In wanting a glorious life.
That's right.
There's no sin in that.
That's right.
Because that's of God.
That's right.
And the only way to get it is to rent your heart.
Yes.
To go down humbly before God.
Yes.
And to keep His commandment.
Yes.
To obey His word. When He said, turn the other cheek, turn it over.
Right.
Here, brother, hit me over here. Turn the other cheek. As you follow His word, God will send down the glory. Oh, we enjoy the rejoicing together in the revelation of the Spirit. But how sweet it is, how glorious it is, when somebody truly lives a sanctified life. The light that shines out of that life, the way that the glory of God is funneled through that life, the way that God is magnified in that life. Seek that life. Endeavor to live that life.
Amen.
You won't be selfish in doing that.
Amen.
Absolutely not. Because you can't get there selfishly.
No, you can't.
That's an impossibility.
Yeah.
That's protected as much as the Garden of Eden was protected with the swords. You can't get around there. To really glorify God, you must come in at the door. And when you do, self is all gone.
Amen.
So then, it is no boast, as the apostle said. It is no longer I. But the glory of God that lives in my life. Where is your star? Where is your star? Is it shining brightly with the glory of God? When you go to work tomorrow, Lord willing, will the glory of God rest on your life? This is a challenge to me. This just kind of knocked me down. And I have to just call upon God.
We're going to close with the 17th chapter of Psalms. What David said. Fifteenth verse. It says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The promise of Christ, that if we keep His word, we shall be like Him. In the glory that God gave Christ, He'll give you. In His likeness.
Yes, thank the Lord.
I'll be satisfied. I'm not satisfied right now. I want to do better. I want to live a better life. When I leave this little camp, I've been encouraged. God has fed my soul. He has lifted me up. And I want to do better. I want to do better. But someday, I'm not going to want to do better. Oh, praise God. Because then this old flesh is going to be gone and the body is going to be a glorified body. Just like Jesus, I'm going to come forth in His likeness in the glory of God. As God glorified Christ and rose Him out of that grave and give Him that glorified body, He's going to give me a glorified body, and He's going to give you a glorified body, and it is going to be in the likeness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I will be satisfied then.
Yeah.
But today I'm not satisfied.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said, "I forget those things that are behind, and I press toward the mark of the high calling." This is a high calling for God to be glorified in your life. It's a very high calling. But it can be done. There are stars shining this very day that will shine forever because it was accomplished. From the little old lady to the big preacher and everyone in between, it's been accomplished. It's been God has been glorified in people. Sometimes we kind of take a hatred against people, don't we? People hate to go to the city. They want to move out in the country. I don't want no people around me. Just kind of hate people. People are the product of God. We shouldn't have an attitude like that.
Amen.
We should not let that attitude get in us. That's selfish.
Amen.
We belong to one another. We belong to the people.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Yes, we do.
Trust the Lord has challenged your heart.
Amen.
Afresh and anew. That as you leave this camp meeting, as you go about your daily duties in life, that you honor and glorify God.
Amen.
Your labor will not be in vain. You are one star that no one else can shine.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah.
When you get the feeling down, like you're not useful, remember this. There isn't another person in the whole wide world, that's a lot of people, that can take your place. Not a one. Dear Sister Marilyn sits there and glorifies God. Praise the Lord for the chair that she's got.
Yeah.
Just singing a praise and honor to God. And God goes, no one else could do that. No one else could do that. No one else can do you. You are a particular star in God's firmament. But one brother said it looked like God just took a handful of stardust and slung it up in the air. Well, you're one of those stars. And no one can live your life.
Yes. Yes.
God has a particular purpose for you.
Amen.
You don't take this whole thought with you. You can't get away from this. Brother Steve cannot live better than you. Brother Bill cannot live better than you. Brother Chandler couldn't live better than you. No one can live better than you. You are an entity in yourself under God. A creation of His that He has particular interest in. That's how big God is. That boggles our mind. But then our minds don't count. God is able to keep an eye on every life. Everybody created this body short, created this body tall, this body skinny, this body fat. All the different little shapes and sizes that He made. But He had a purpose for each one that comes into this world. That's the atrocity of abortion, as they kill these little babies. God had a purpose and a plan for that little life. I don't care where it was born. God's that big and He's that great. And He has a purpose and a place for every life.
Amen.
Your life is for God. And there is a glory in you. Now listen to this and take it home with you. There is a glory in you that in the whole church God cannot get without you.
Amen.
Amen.
You think about that.
That's right.
Your personality, your place, God can't get it out of anyone else but you.
That's right.
Now He can raise up the rocks to praise Him. We know that.
Yeah.
He can put an orchestra of people over here and play big music. And He can do anything He wants to do. But He can't cross your will. And He can't cross my will. And God has given us that respect and that honor to make our own choice. And that's what makes Him such a glorious God.
Amen.
So that everyone, regardless of who they are, they have a particular place to glorify God.
Amen.
Let us therefore strive to glorify Him. Pray for me.
Amen.